From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good evening, everyone. You're very welcome to our program. As we begin a new month, I would like to introduce a new feature to our program. Instead of offering free copies of a testimony tape, as we have done for quite a few weeks now, I will be reading from a little book called The Coming of the Son of Man. It was written by E.J. Poole Connor, and it lays the foundations of an understanding of the Bible's teaching on the return of Christ. I will be reading extracts from the publication for the next few weeks and offering a free copy to anyone who requests one. I know the interest that many have in this vital subject, so I hope many of you will contact me. Just before I read the first extract, let me remind you that we are continuing our study in the central doctrines of the Christian faith, and we begin the final topic under that heading. I want to look at the Bible, the Word of God. Now here's the first extract from the publication, The Coming of the Son of Man. Some 600 years before Christ was born, a great king lay on his bed, meditating upon the future of the empire over which he ruled, an empire daily growing in power and glory. To what was it tending? How would it end? Thus questioning, he fell asleep and dreamed. And in his dream he saw a great image before him, curiously composed. Its head was of gold, its breast and arms were of silver, its belly and thighs of brass, its legs of iron, its feet part of iron and part of potter's clay. As he contemplated it, he saw a stone smite the image upon its feet and break it, so utterly that the image became as chaff of the threshing floor, and the wind carried it away, while the stone became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Such was the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, as recorded in the second chapter of Daniel's prophecy. And the vision was no empty product of an excited brain, but God's answer to his questionings. It was given to him that he might know the thoughts of his heart, and what should come to pass in the latter days. And God, who gave the dream, gave, through his servant Daniel, the interpretation. The image, the king was told, symbolized the whole course of Gentile rule. Nebuchadnezzar himself being the head of gold, his kingdom should be followed by one governmentally inferior, set forth by the breasts and arms of silver, which in turn should be replaced by a third, of which the brazen portion of the image was the type. Concerning the identities of these kingdoms, there is no question, since Nebuchadnezzar was informed that his rule was indicated by the head of gold. It is a matter of history that the Babylonian Empire was succeeded by that of Medo-Persia, and later by that of Greece. Moreover, both these kingdoms are expressly named in this prophecy, the former in chapter 5, verse 28, and the latter in chapter 8, verses 20 and 21. The king was further informed that in process of time a fourth world power would arise, strong as iron, which, like iron, would break in pieces all opposed to it. That this fourth kingdom was that of Rome, no direct scripture tells us, but such we know to be the fact. It is this imperial power which looms large and sinister behind all New Testament history. Roman emperors, Roman judges, Roman soldiers pass through its pages. A Roman census drives Mary to Bethlehem. A Roman tax creates the publican. A Roman citizenship affords its temporary protection to the Apostle Paul, and it was a Roman cross on which our Lord was put to death. But this was not all. The image of the king's dream had 10 toes upon its feet, and these 10 toes had their prophetic significance. They represented 10 kingdoms into which the Roman Empire was itself to be divided. And in the days of those 10 kings, so Daniel was commissioned to declare, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Chapter 2, verse 44. And set it up by violence and destruction, for it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. We'll have more from the booklet, The Coming of the Son of Man, in our program next Monday evening. But please make sure you send for your free copy of that little publication. We're turning to consider the last topic under the heading, The Central Doctrines of the Christian Faith. And I want to consider with you the Bible. No more important subject, no more important doctrine can be considered. The Bible is the grand charter, the foundation of Christianity. To undermine it, to discredit and reject the Bible, is to undermine, discredit, and utterly reject Christianity. Christianity is rooted, and it's grounded and built upon the Word of God. And if the foundations be destroyed, what will Christians do? The popular assertion of many shallow thinkers today is that their Christianity rejects the Old Testament but accepts the New Testament. Now that's, to say the least, unrealistic, for the New Testament is based upon the Old Testament. Both are united, and of necessity, when one is rejected, the other also must be rejected. What the seed is to the plant, so is the Old Testament to the New Testament. How can the plant be received and the seed which produced it rejected? The Bible claims to be the Word of God, and by making this claim, the Bible is simply declaring its divine authority, its infallibility, its sufficiency. The Bible is of divine authority. Its authority is grounded upon God Himself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 reads, ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us. Ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The Bible's authority is not derived from man's reasoning and man's logic. But our reasoning must be approved by the Bible, and not the Bible by our reasoning. The Bible's authority is not derived from a church. The Bible does not appeal to the church and demand obedience because the church agrees with its teachings or sanctions its teachings. Its authority is not ecclesiastical, and it's the church that needs to be approved by the Bible and not the Bible by the church. And that is a very important doctrine for us to grasp. What men who claim to be servants of God may say must be sanctioned by the Bible and approved by the Word of God. The Bible claims that its authority is derived from the God who breathed it. Its authority is divine. The Bible is infallible. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10 and the verse 35, the Scripture cannot be broken. In all its words, it can make no mistake. All it says, in the sense in which it says it, is true. What it records as history is real history. When we read of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, there was an Adam and there was an Eve. two individuals, the first two individuals, and there was a Garden of Eden. Its descriptions of the processes of nature, though not described in scientific language, are as popular statements, infallibly true to what appears, and hence scientifically correct. When the mistakes of men or the lies of Satan are recorded in the Bible, it is an infallible record of the mistakes and the lies that is given us there. The Bible is sufficient. It meets all the needs of men. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, we read, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so now I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." All that we require to know in regard to faith and practice is contained in the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise unto salvation. We must beware of believing anything which is contrary to what the Bible teaches, or rejecting anything which is set forth in the Word of God. The minister or pastor who sets forth doctrines which are contrary to the plain Word of God must be rejected, and he must be resisted. The Bible is our creed. The Bible determines our doctrine. Let us follow the example of the Bereans to whom Paul preached. We read in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 that having heard the message of Paul, they searched the Scriptures to see if it was so. How many today accept what men teach simply on the basis of their public standing and the position they hold? We ought to be like the Bereans and test men's preaching by God's truth. John chapter 20 and the verse 31 says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Thus the Bible claims to be the Word of God. It is of divine authority. It's infallible, and it meets all the need of sinners. I say to you tonight, dear listener, there's not a question that arises concerning your soul's salvation but is answered and given in the Bible. And if the answer given in the Bible is not to your liking and does not meet with your approval, then it is you that is wrong and not the Bible. May the Lord bless his word. Good night and God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.